Well, I want to talk about the power of Jesus' name today. Appreciated that last song that we sang. What a wonderful name it is. Beautiful name, powerful name. And we are actually 1 week into the Advent season. And the word Advent, I actually didn't even know this. I had to look this up. The word Advent is a Latin word that means coming or arrival. And it refers to the first coming of Jesus 2,000 years ago. It also refers to the second coming of Christ. So there will be a second Advent. It's a 4 week period. We're 1 week into it. And I want to look at the story of how Jesus got his name, the meaning of his name, and the power that is resident in that name. So I want to read a scripture in Matthew chapter 1. It's part of the Christmas story. Matthew's version anyway. We're going to start in verse 18. So this is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home to be your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary home to be his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage in physical intimacy until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. That's how he got his name. Now, one of the challenges for new parents, at least it was for us, and I think for a lot of folks, when it comes to naming their children, is to come up with a name that both of you agree on. When we had our first, we actually could not come up with a name that both of us agreed on, and we actually had her. She was born, she was in the hospital, and we still hadn't come up with a name. All the names I came up with, she didn't like. You know, they reminded her of somebody in high school that she didn't like, or and vice versa. And so here it was, she's born, the nurses are telling us, hey, you got to come up with a name. We need to put a name on the birth certificate. And so, like, at the last moment, I came up, I just made up the name.
The Holy Spirit birthed it. Yeah, that's
right. Okay, I'll go with that.
I know.
Anyway, I just said this name that I had never heard before in my life. Didn't know there was another one in the world. We found out there's more since. But we came up with the name Inessa, and she's been named Inessa ever since. Our second child, Kaylee, that was pretty easy. We both seemed to agree on that. But when it came to our third child, we knew it was a boy. And again, we were back in that challenge again. About coming up with a name, and she actually felt the Lord, she told me this anyway, that the Lord spoke to her and said, we need to name him Samuel. Well, I didn't know if she heard from the Lord or not. I wasn't sure I liked that name, and I liked the name Samuel, but I thought, well, all of his friends and everybody's going to call him Sam, and I'm not real crazy about Sam. Sam I am, you know. Remind me of green eggs and ham or something. Anyway, we just couldn't agree on it. And finally, she just dropped it, you know, because I wouldn't agree with it, you know. And so she just let it go. She's very good about that. Wives, you can take a lesson from that sometimes, because God has a way of dealing with us men.
Can I add to this story?
Sure, get the microphone.
Well, because this is important. So I pray. We went back and forth. And so finally, I came to the point, and I said, Lord, if you want this baby's name to be Samuel, you're going to have to deal with him, because I'm letting it go.
That's not fair.
Because I want to honor. It was all in the Lord's hands, because I want to honor my husband, and I'm not going to argue this point. So if you want this, Lord, it's on you. So I just had some.
Yeah. Yeah. So about 2 months before he was born, we had a guest speaker. It was actually the last Sunday that Dad was on planet Earth. He had a guest speaker named Drew Reese, spoke in the morning, then had a service at night. And he had a prophetic anointing on him, gifting. And so I guess it was after the message, right? He called Bobby up. We were sitting on the second row right there. And he called her up and said, I just feel like God has a word for you. And so he called me up to stand by her. And so we were standing there, and he was prophesying over her and giving her a word from the Lord. And right in the middle of that, he stopped, and obviously she was pregnant, and she could see that, and said, I just feel like this baby that's in your womb is another Samuel. Referring to Samuel the prophet. And she gave me one of these. And I said, I give up. God's against me. Why, two against one, I give up. So we named him Samuel. And he's been named Samuel ever since. And we've made sure that he's called Samuel and not Sam. A few of his friends got away with it, but most people call him Samuel. Well, Joseph and Mary, they didn't have that challenge of what to name their child, because the Heavenly Father, God himself, gave him the name. He got his name from God. You are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. How many know the meaning of your name? Let me see your hand. Give me that mic real quick. What is it? I want to ask a couple of you real quick. Put your hand up again. Who knows the meaning of your name? You know the meaning of your name? Tell us your name and the meaning.
Xavier, and it means the new house.
The new house. Okay. Who else?
My name is Lilani, and it means heavenly flower.
Heavenly flower. That's pretty. Cody?
My name's Cody, and it's Son of the Helper.
Son of the Helper. That's interesting. One or two more here. How about you? What's your name?
He's Gabriella.
Too small to say.
I'm Christina, and it means follower of Christ.
Follower of Christ. All right. One more. Got a gal back here.
My name is Roberta. It means bright shining.
Bright shining? Bright shining. Beautiful names and beautiful meanings. My name is David, and my name means beloved of God. So the rest of you, eat your heart out, because I am the beloved of God. In some cultures, the meaning of the name is very important, and even drives what the parents might name the child. And Jesus' name, of course, has a very important meaning. In the case of Jesus, his name, the meaning of the name, fits the mission of the man. I'm going to say that again. The meaning of the name fits the mission of the man. Again, his name means God saves. That's what the name means. Jesus. The name Jesus means God saves. God delivers. God rescues. So his name perfectly fits his job description. In Luke 19:1, Jesus gave his own job description. He said, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. So again, the angel told Joseph, give him the name Jesus. Why? Because he's going to be a savior. He's going to be a rescuer. He's going to be a redeemer. He's going to save people from their sins. The name Jesus, God saves. He came to save us from the power of Satan. He came to save us from the power of our own sinful self. You know, sometimes we need more help in that area than anything. Yeah, we've got demonic forces out there that want to battle and fight us, but our own carnal flesh is probably the thing that we need victory over more than anything. Jesus came to save us from even that. Hallelujah. From ourselves. Now, there's a lot of great names in the world, a lot of household names. I mean, people all over the world are going to recognize politicians like Abraham Lincoln or even Donald Trump, athletes like Michael Jordan, entertainers like Taylor Swift, preachers like Billy Graham. You know, many of these names are household names, and they carry a certain amount of influence. But there is a name that is greater than all other names. If there was ever a name that was packed with significance, it is the name of Jesus. I love this scripture in Philippians chapter 2, talking about the name of Jesus. It says, therefore, every time you see a word therefore in the Bible, look back to see what it's there for. And therefore means because of Jesus' willingness to obey his Father, to humble himself and go to the cross, therefore God exalted him to the highest place, listen, and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The name of Jesus is the highest, is the greatest, is the most powerful name in all of the universe. One day when Jesus returns, every knee is going to bow. In heaven, that's all the angels and all the created beings. On earth, that's all humans. And under the earth, that's Satan himself and all demonic forces one day are going to bow their knee and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The most hardened atheist on the planet is going to bow his knee and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I've chosen to do it right now. Hallelujah. I'm not going to wait till he comes back. I've chosen to bow my knee and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord in my life. Amen. You know, I believe the devil understands the power that's in the name of Jesus. And that's why he tries to drag it through the mud of contemporary culture. He tries to take what is holy and make it common. In the name of Jesus, as you know, if you live and work out in the world, is often used as a swear word. Satan's trying his best to tarnish the name of Jesus, to diminish its significance, but that's never going to happen. Hallelujah. In the overall scheme of things, I thank God that I grew up in a Christian home and in a Christian church where I heard the name of Jesus, not as a swear word, but as a name that was magnified and glorified and lifted up. I don't know how many times over the years since I was, you know, I was in church before I was born, and ever since, for the most part, other than a few rebellious years right there. But I've heard the name of Jesus in more sermons than I can count, probably. I've heard the name of Jesus in the great songs and hymns of the church. I was thinking about some of these this week. There's that old chorus by Roy Hicks, praise the name of Jesus, praise the name of Jesus. He's my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. In him will I trust. There's another old chorus that we used to sing, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like a fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms shall all pass away. But there's something about that name. That name. Or that's the old hymn by John Newton. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in every believer's ear. It soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away his fear. Hallelujah. How do we get the name of Jesus in our English language? The Hebrew name for Jesus is Yeshua. How many have heard that name before? It's probably the name that his parents called him and those who knew him. It's actually a shortened form of the name Joshua. And it actually has the very same meaning. Now, Joshua means God saved. Jesus means God saved. And how do we get to Jesus, though, from Yeshua? Well, when the New Testament was translated into Latin and then later into English, the name Yeshua is transliterated. That means writing it out, transliterated into J-E-S-U-S. So we get the name Jesus. And I know I've heard people argue, well, you know, his real name is Yeshua, and we shouldn't use Jesus, we got to use Yeshua. His real name in Hebrew is Yeshua. His real name in English is Jesus. Now, I don't speak Hebrew, maybe you do, but I speak English, and so I'm just going to stick with Jesus if that's okay with you. And I think it's okay with him. You know, my name in English is David, my name in Spanish is David. And so that's the difference. They're, you know, when names are, sometimes they stay the same, but a lot of times when names are moved into another language, there's a change. So we got Yeshua in Hebrew and we got Jesus in English. But the big question, that's just a little minor thing. The big question of the day is what makes the name of Jesus so special and so supernatural and so set apart from every other name. The name of Jesus in his day was actually a very common name. It's kind of like David today, or John, or Jim. There's just a lot of us around. There was nothing really extraordinary or unusual about that name. And I think that's why Jesus is often referred to as Jesus of Nazareth, distinguishing him from other Jesuses by his birth location. Jesus, he's the Jesus of Nazareth, not the Jesus from Jerusalem or Jesus from some other place. Jesus from Nazareth, who we're talking about. Now, it's estimated that there's been 60 million people that's lived on the planet since Adam and Eve. And out of that 60 million, the name of Jesus, I'm talking about his name, the one name, has been quoted more than any other name in history. What sets his name apart from all the other names? He didn't have a worldwide ministry. In fact, during the scope of his 3.5 years of ministry, he probably didn't wander more than about 100 miles from his hometown. Yet, his name has traveled to the ends of the earth. The story of Jesus is everywhere. He never wrote a book, but the best-selling book of all time, the Bible, is about him. His story. There have been more books written about Jesus than any other person ever on the planet. He had no formal education. He was just a carpenter's son, grew up working in his father's carpentry shop. The town of Nazareth, where he grew up, was just a small, obscure, unremarkable town of about, they figure about 400 to 500 people. In the town of Nazareth. It's got about 75,000 now. We actually stopped by there during our trip to Israel. But 400 or 500 people in the day of Jesus. You know, people thought not much came out of Nazareth. In fact, Nathanael said when introduced to Jesus, or was it his brother, Andrew, that talked about Jesus, said, what good thing can come out of Nazareth? That's what people thought. Yet the most influential person in all of history came out of that small little obscure city. Jesus wasn't an artist that we know of, never painted a painting that we know of, but the most expensive painting that's ever been sold on the planet was a painting of Jesus by Leonardo da Vinci that was sold at an auction in 2017 for $450 million. He never wrote a song that we know of, but more songs have been written about Jesus than any other person in history. He only lived 33 years, about 33.5 years. This is interesting. Most of what is recorded in the Gospels, the four Gospels about the life of Jesus, occurred in parts of 26 days. Just parts of 26 days. But in those 26 days, Jesus changed the world. He's been studied, analyzed, talked about more than anybody on earth. So what makes his name so special, so supernatural? I want to give you five reasons real quick behind the greatness of Jesus' name. Number one, salvation can be found in that name. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Acts 4:12 says, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given by which men may be saved. There's no other name that can save you. The name of Muhammad can't save you. The name of Buddha can't save you. The name of Hare Krishna can't save you. The name of Joseph Smith, the founder of the Mormon movement, can't save you. There's only one name on the planet that can bring salvation to your soul and give you a place in eternity in heaven, and that is the name of Jesus. Romans 10 verse 1 says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, Jesus, will be saved. I looked up that word everyone to find out exactly what that means. And guess what? It means everyone. It doesn't matter what nationality or race or status in life. If you call on the name of the Lord in sincerity, then you will be saved by the power of that name. Here's the second thing. Healing, first is salvation can be found in that name. Second, healing can be found in that name. Healing. There's healing power in the name of Jesus. In Acts 3, Peter and John were on their way to the temple at 3 o'clock in the afternoon for a time of prayer, and they encountered a man who was sitting on the side of the road. We see him all the time, begging for money. It was a guy who was, I think he was like 39 years old. He was lame. He could not walk. He had never walked a day in his life. And so there was no welfare back there, no government assistance. Only thing they could do is put them out on the road and hope that generous, you know, well, good-hearted people would somehow drop a few coins in their tin cup. And that's what he was doing that day. And Peter and John walked by. And I believe Peter was quickened by the Holy Spirit. We don't do these things unless the Holy Spirit just quickens us to do it. I believe he walked by that same place probably many times. That guy had probably been sitting there for years, 39 years old. Most all of his adult life he had been sitting there. But that day, the Holy Spirit was doing something different. That day, the Holy Spirit quickened Peter and John and said, stop, I want to do something here. And so Peter stopped. He looked at the man. He said, look at me. And the man looked at him, I'm sure expecting to maybe get a few coins. But what God had in mind, the gift that God had in mind, was far greater than a few coins that day. And Peter looked at him and said, silver and gold have I none, but what I have, I give to you in the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk. He reached down and took that man by the hand, began to pull him up. The strength of God, the power of God came in, healed that man's legs. He stood up. He began to walk and leap and praise God. And he followed them into the temple. And I believe they had a church service that day. Hallelujah. I believe there was some shouting and rejoicing that day in the power of God that was demonstrated in that man's life. Peter understood the power and authority that are inherent in that name, the name of Jesus. He didn't have any power to heal that man. You know that, right? I mean, I can't heal a flea, neither can you. Neither could Peter, but he understood that there was authority in that name and that Jesus had given him the right to use that name to do kingdom business. Amen? In essence, Jesus gave Peter and Jesus has given us the power of attorney.
Yeah.
To use his name in conducting kingdom business. Think about that for a moment. You understand the power of attorney, most of you? Jesus has given us the power of attorney to use his name in conducting kingdom business. When he ascended back to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit, hallelujah, to live within us, and he delegated his authority. This is so important. We got to understand this. The same authority that Jesus operated in when he walked the planet, he healed the sick, he raised the dead, he took a small boy's lunch and fed the 5. That same power, that same authority, he delegated to the church. Hallelujah. Who's the church? Turn to somebody and said, you're looking at it right now. The church is not the building. Hallelujah. We know this, right? The church is not the building. The building is just where we need. The church is people. And Jesus delegated his authority in his name to do the same kingdom business that he had already begun. He said, I'm going back to heaven. I'm sending the Holy Spirit. Now you just carry on. You just keep doing the business. I believe there's a sign in heaven that says God and sons. And that includes women as well. And we are all invited into the Father's business to continue to do that business that Jesus started on the planet. Everywhere he went, he did three things. He preached the kingdom, the good news of the kingdom. He healed the sick and he cast out demons. Everywhere he went. There's one verse in the Bible, Acts 10:38, that I believe summarizes the ministry of Jesus. It said how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. He was doing, why did Jesus do that? He came to do the Father's business. He said, I don't do anything except what the Father's doing.
Right.
I'm here to do the Father's will. And so that, he was representing the Father and doing exactly what the Father had sent him to do. Now he's gone, but he sent the Holy Spirit to empower us to carry on the Father's business of doing what? Those three things: preaching the good news of the kingdom, healing the sick, and driving the power of darkness out of people's lives. How do you know there's power of darkness? Well, there's evidence. There's certain things that you see. I had a list here somewhere. I don't know what I did with it. But it's just things like mental illness, fear, depression, sickness, fractured families, fractured homes, and marriage. That is all evidence of the work of darkness. You know, John 10:10 says the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's Satan's job description. You want to know what Satan's up to? That's it right there. He came to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, hallelujah, thank God it didn't end there. Jesus said, but I've come that you might have life and have a more abundant. Abundant life. Satan wants to destroy your life. Jesus wants to give you abundant life. Satan's bad, God's good. That's my theology right there in just one verse. What's your theology, Pastor David? Satan bad, God good. Hallelujah. I'm just a simple man. I had to write a song about that, right? Simple man. Or is there a song about that? I think there is. I think I remember one from my 70s. It's coming back to me. Lynyrd Skynyrd. Yeah. So listen again. I just got to say it again. I want to drive it in. When Jesus ascended to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit to dwell in us, empower us to carry out the ministry that he began. Listen to what Jesus said in John 14:12. He said, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have done. All these works that I've been doing, healing the sick, casting out demons, raising the dead, feeding the poor and the hungry. You're going to do all these works and even greater works than these. I know a lot of people, they get tripped up over the greater. Well, what's the greater works? What's the greater? How can we do greater works than Jesus? I don't really care. I would just be happy with the works. That's what I'm shooting for. I just want to do the works of Jesus. When I get there, maybe he'll tell me what the rest of it is. How many would just be happy doing the works of Jesus? Hallelujah. Well, here's the third empowerment of that name Jesus. There's protection in the name of Jesus. Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a fortified tower, and the righteous run to it and are safe. I want Bobby to share a little testimony about the power of the name in this area of protection.
Okay. So this was several years ago, before we had Samuel. Anessa and Kaylee were probably 3 and 4. And we have a certain way of going home. We go the back way. What is that? Morton
and Richmond.
Richmond is really, really steep. And then at the end of Richmond is, Old Dufour Road. Anyway, it was a cold winter day, and I didn't realize how icy it was. And I was heading home from church, and I was going down Richmond, and I hit my brakes, but my brakes didn't work because I was on black ice. And so I'm going down Richmond, and I'm realizing, oh my gosh, the intersection is coming up. And I cannot stop. Now, the thing about at the bottom of Richmond where it meets Old Dufour Road, there is a house and then there's a cliff. I saw the cliff. And so I'm going down and I'm really trying to stop, but we're on ice and we're not stopping. And so we're heading towards the end of the road. And I know I heard the Holy Spirit say, crank your wheel. And so I cranked my wheel to the right. And then all I could do was I couldn't stop. We were going through the intersection, and all I could do was say, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And we went through the intersection, and as soon as we went through, my van just did a whip. It whipped, and all of a sudden I'm heading, what is direction is that? East. I'm heading the right direction. Hallelujah. And there was a car that must have seen me come through, but had they not stopped, they would have they would have hit this side of my van. So I could have been hit or I could have went off the cliff, but by the power of the name of Jesus, I can only sum it up to that. Listening to what the Holy Spirit told me to do. And because otherwise, I'm pretty sure I just would have went careening off that cliff or into the house. Either one wouldn't have been good. And so there's definite power in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Well, the fourth aspect of the name, the greatness of the name of Jesus, has to do with answered prayer. There's answered prayer in the name of Jesus. God himself will honor the name of Jesus, honor the prayers that are offered in his name. John 16:23, Jesus says, "Very truly, I tell you." Anytime you see that phrase, "very truly, I tell you," Jesus is basically saying, heads up here. I'm about to tell you something that's very, very important. "Very truly, I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy will be full." I want to read that again, just the one part. "My Father," Jesus said, "my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name." That should move you a little bit more than that. Let me try it one more time. God is saying to you, heads up, verily, verily, truly, truly, I'm going to tell you something that's important. This is not just my opinion. This is solid truth. This is what Jesus is saying. My Father, and he's talking to you, will give you whatever you ask in my name. Just say this after me. My Father will give me whatever I ask in Jesus' name. That's pretty good stuff right there, I think. I mean, that's a wonderful promise. Now, the Apostle John adds, I think, an important condition in his first letter. 1 John 5, verse 14, says, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will," that's the little condition that he adds, "if we ask anything according to his will, then we know that he hears us. If we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked from him." So, when you pray to the Father in the name of Jesus, and you pray according to his will, you can be guaranteed that the answer is on the way. How do you know what God's will is? Read his word. Amen. God's will is God's word. Amen? Read the word and you're going to understand his will. I think one of the main reasons that people don't sometimes get answers to prayer, because they pray outside of the will of God. They pray for things that are not in the word. They're not included in the word. There's no guarantee. You can't have faith for anything that's not included in the word of God. But there's so much in there that it covers everything that we could possibly ever want. Number five, here's the fifth aspect of the greatness of Jesus' name. We have authority over the powers of darkness in the name of Jesus. Authority over the powers of darkness in the name of Jesus. As you know, there is an unseen spiritual realm all around us. It's just as real as the person next to you or the seat that you're sitting on. It's where God lives, angels live. It's where Satan lives and the demonic forces live. There's an ongoing spiritual war and conflict in that realm, light against darkness. And again, John 10:10, Jesus said, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy." But Jesus has given us authority in his name to deal with these powers of darkness that come against our own life, that come against our family. How many have ever been under some kind of an attack of the enemy? You know it's a spiritual attack. You know it's a satanic attack. Trying to put sickness on you, trying to rip your marriage apart, trying to destroy your kids, trying to destroy your finances, wreck your business, whatever it is. You know that there's a demonic attack against you. Well, you don't have to just sit there, roll over, and play dead like a possum. Say, "Oh, whatever will be, will be." No, Jesus gave you his name. And there's authority in that name to deal with the works of darkness. Get your fight on, Bobby said. Hallelujah. God has got to remember that old song from Carmen years ago in the 70s. He talked about being authorized. How did that go? Authorized and deputized and equipped to deal with the enemy. I think the song was called "Satan Bite the Dust." Anybody remember that song? "Satan Bite the Dust." Man, we've been authorized and deputized to deal with the enemy, to put him in his place. The word authority actually means the power to act. Again, it's the power of attorney that Jesus had delegated to us to do kingdom business. I want to end my message today with this quote from Dick Mills. I just thought this was such a powerful quote about the name of Jesus. He said this, "The name of Jesus personifies him. When spoken in prayer and deliverance, it invokes all of his majesty, authority, power, rank, character, and excellence. His name embodies all that he himself is and has. The name of Jesus is not a magic formula or a good luck charm. Rather, it is a base of power for demolishing the strongholds of the enemy." The name of Jesus. Are you up against some things that you don't know how to deal with? You know that Satan is behind these things. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. You realize, man, there's some things coming against me. It's beyond my physical ability to deal with. I've got some good news. Jesus has equipped you with weapons. He has not left us defenseless against the enemy. He's given us the Word of God. He's given us the Holy Spirit. He's given us the blood of Jesus. He's given us the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. And, praise God, He has given us the name of Jesus at which every knee shall bow. One day, He's going to physically bow, but we can take that name right now. Say, Satan, I'm not putting up with your garbage in my family. You're not going to have my kids. You're not going to destroy my body in the sickness. I take the name of Jesus, and I use that against you, and I command you to exit my life, stage left, and do it now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a powerful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. Hallelujah. He's given us that name to use to bring healing and deliverance, not only to ourselves, but the world around us. Hallelujah. Take a moment. Actually, just stand. Let's go ahead and stand. And let's just take a moment. Take a moment right now and just praise that name. Utter that name. Magnify that name. Jesus, we love you. We praise that name. We magnify that name today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you for that name. Thank you for that name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One more time. We can't stop there. Raise your hands one more time. Jesus, we love that name. We magnify your name. We glorify your name. Hallelujah. It is the highest name. It is the most beautiful name. The most wonderful name. Thank you for the power in your name, the healing in your name, the salvation in your name, protection in your name. Hallelujah. Freedom and deliverance in the name of Jesus. We love that name. We love that name. It's a holy name. It's so holy. It's so holy. Holy, holy, holy. Is the name of the Lord God Almighty. We love that name. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus. Like a fragrance after the rain. What a beautiful name. Hallelujah. Thank you for the name, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Would you just reach out and touch somebody next to you and take that name that's been delegated to you and just say, in Jesus' name, let freedom come. Let healing come. If there's healing needed, let deliverance come. In the name of Jesus, restore broken homes, fractured relationships, broken marriages. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We thank you for the power in that name. Every knee will bow before that name. Thank you for the name. Thank you for the name. Thank you for the name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to ask our ministry team to come up as we conclude the service today, and they'll be up here. If you need any prayer, physically, mentally, emotionally, whatever the need is, come and let them pray for you. Just a reminder, we'll be back here tonight for the Dallas Christmas Choir. We are going to need some volunteers to help clear the stage. Otherwise, it's been great to be in God's house with you. Lord bless you. Have a great Sunday afternoon.